what do we got here at the Antlers we can talk about first thing tonight?
Well, just always like to thank the Blue Liners for coming down, and Kathy from Anything Electric to for coming down and tending bar with us tonight, giving Jess a hand behind the bar. And I'd like to start pitching our fundraiser with the Stars Theater Project coming up. We have dinner theater the first three Sundays in November. Get your tickets while they last, because they sold out last year twice. And we have a dinner theater three Sundays in a row for fundraisers for Stars Theater. And no, I'm not allowed to give out any of the details, but it sounds kind of fun.
Well, how about giving us the time so people know when they can come down?
They can't come down. They have to go to Stars first to get their tickets.
Okay.
And there's three shows, and they start at 6 o'clock
on
the first three Sundays in November. But it's not we're going to be closed for those evenings.
Except to this event.
Right. And you have to get your tickets in advance.
Cool. And well, I know it's worked well in the past.
It's a blast too. It's just like a regular dinner theater, you know, murder mystery stuff, different things. It's a lot of fun.
Good date night for Damon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I need it. I've been gone so much that, make my wife happy. For
there
sure.
you go. Sunday evening.
Chris, thanks for joining us here tonight.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for coming down.
Again, we've got Kathy Radio in here from Everything Electric. She is our guest bartender tonight. We'll test her in a while and see if she can make a good martini or something. But we'll have to have Tom Coates tell us whether it's good or not. We do have a lot of fans here tonight. We want to thank them for being here. It's always great. We want to remind everybody the Blue Liners do have a post game this weekend. We play Northern Michigan. It's Great Lakes State weekend. There's lots going on. We'll talk about that a lot during the show tonight, but they are having their post game. It's Saturday night this weekend. It's upstairs at the CC Hall, and the 1994 team has been invited to be there, and I'm sure most of those guys will be there. They'll take advantage of that to say hi to all their old friends, and Blue Liners and all hockey fans are invited out to that. You don't have to be a Blue Liner to be part of that one, and they'll have some food there. Be a good time for everybody and a good way to congratulate the guys from 94 as they get inducted into the Hall of Fame. That'll be on Saturday afternoon at 2. It's going to be in the Arts Center this year. First time they've had the event in the Arts Center, the induction of the Hall of Famers. It'll be Alice Dusing Nightingale from 2003, Chris Buell from 1974. Those are both basketball players. And then the 1994 National Championship hockey team. I talked to Jeff Jackson about this on the weekend. He's not going to be able to be there. They have a series with Niagara. He can't leave Notre Dame this weekend, but he did send along a greeting that will be taken care of Saturday afternoon when the guys get inducted into the hall. And I think a lot of guys are coming back for that. I saw where Clayton Beddoes is definitely going to be here. I know Jason Trzynski and Danny Angelelli and Darren Weatherill and Gino Pelenni are all going to be here. Ryan Sharp. There are more than that. There will be a lot of guys from that 1994 National Championship team will be here. And if you're a Laker fan who goes back that far, that'll be fun to get together with those guys. They were a tremendous crew, and that was the third of the three national championships here at Lake Superior State.
And they're excited to have a chance to talk about five or six of those guys over the last week or two, and just hoping they can make it back and let them know how important it is for us to have them back. So they're really excited to get up there and see everybody and, you know, be back in the Super weekend.
And it'll be fun to see us play against Northern Michigan. That's an old rivalry, and we'll get into it with Damon Witten right now. A tough couple of games for the Lakers on the weekend, Damon. And, you know, the start to this season is not what you wanted, not what anybody wants, but it was kind of predictable in a way because we've got so many new people in the lineup. And those, I think the way you put it, this season so far has been we cannot play over our mistakes right now. We're young, we make these mistakes, and boy, it was never more evident than the third period on Saturday night at Notre Dame when we surrendered the puck a couple times, wound up in our net, and a 2-1 game goes to 5-1.
I like your surrender the puck versus turn the puck over. You say it a little bit nicer, but yeah, no question, our youth showed late in that game. I think a little fatigue sets in, and those young guys, you know, the first thing that goes is your mind when you're tired and worn out at the end of a weekend. And, you know, we talked early on about our conditioning level. It's taken some steps. It's improved. It's probably still not where it needs to be. When you're on an intense series on the road in third period, and the first thing goes is your brain a lot of those times. And you saw that with some of the decisions we made and the turnovers we made. And then when you face a team like that, they have high end talent, Hinostroza, Lucia, DePauli. I mean, those guys are, there's a reason why they're drafted where they're drafted, and they're going to play in the NHL. And, you make easy turnovers like that, they bury it, and that was the difference in that game.
Yeah, it was tough, and it was tough to watch because we played pretty well. We did a good job in both those games hanging in there. The game on Friday night was 5-3 with an empty net goal. It's almost a mirror of the Michigan Tech series. The scores are even the same. 5-3 with an empty netter, 5-1 the second game. But, boy, that second game at Notre Dame, it really wasn't a 5-1 game.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, I like their pushback both nights. We had that huge goal at the end of the first period on Friday as time expired to, you know, really give us some life and some energy back. So we're in a one-goal game and a tight game. And, you know, so that was good. Same thing Saturday. We go into the third period. It's a one-goal game. We talked about it in between the second and third period on Saturday night. You're on the road. It's one-goal game. That's right where you want to be. And, you know, you've got to be so solid and be so responsible with the puck in those situations, and certainly weren't. And then that early turnover, minute 30 in or so, and you could just feel the momentum on our bench really go and leave us for a little bit and drain us. But you know what? I give our guys credit. They finished. They pulled it together, and then we actually had a good final 8 minutes and pushed back a little bit, but certainly at that point it was too late.
Yeah, I think what we've got here right now is a bunch of hardworking, good guys who want to play, but we haven't been together long enough and practiced together long enough to have things together to the point where we can score when we need to. I think offense is the big shortcoming here, and what do you do to work? You just keep working on that. That's all you can do.
I think it's both sides. You know, we're giving up too much as well. I mean, certainly because we are, you know, challenged to score offensively, we have to be that much better defensively. You know, we can't, like, I keep saying it, we can't outscore our mistakes. And you turn a puck over, it ends up in your net. We're going to have a hard time winning games 6-5 or 4-3 even. So we've got to be rock solid defensively. We've got to be better defensively. It's asking a lot for some young guys, but we've got to be better that way. And like Friday, I thought offensively that was by far our best job creating offense, finishing chances. You know, Sunday we had a chance to go up 1-0 and got robbed there right in front of a wide open net. So we're creating a little bit more. We're still not heavy enough or desperate enough around the opposing team's net to finish some of those chances. But we did take steps. We did get better. We got to continue to get a lot better quickly to capitalize on those.
Well, there are many positive things, too. We've talked about a couple of them, but one of the big ones to me is the goaltending. I think Gordy Adafield and Kevin Aldridge have given you real good goaltending. We haven't seen Pete Magariotis yet, and we've got another goalie, too, Harris, who could come in and play if he had to. But goaltending has not been the big weakness here, even though we've surrendered goals.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Kevin you know, not many chances on those turnovers. The guys came right in, buried them, and not much of a chance. He actually made two or three really big saves, too, which showed some of his mobility and his quickness in the net. Gordy's been very, very good for us. You know, there's a reason he started 5 of 6. And, you know, really a little bit of separation from him and our other guys right now. And, you know, we'll see. We evaluate every day. We talk as a staff every day after practice about who we liked, who we didn't like. And, you know, but, yeah, there's a little bit of separation at the top right now. And he's good. He's been very good for us and kept us in games. And, you know, again, we just can't give up those one or two major turnovers or one or two major mistakes that we're making right now.
Yeah, and again, the negative end of things right now is it's an 0-6 start, and there's no way you can get around that. And that gets to be a problem. The losses pile up, mistakes in the D zone, a lack of finishing and consistency in the offensive zone. And about all you can do right now is try to be positive with everybody and keep working hard in the practice situation to put these combinations together to create things.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we jumbled some lines and it led to some good things. We'll continue to do that. And yeah, I mean, you're in a big pit. It's funny. We talked to our guys today and it's kind of the sickness of hockey coaches a little bit, but I didn't travel back with the team Saturday night. I stayed in South Bend, caught a junior game, Sunday afternoon in Ann Arbor. That triggered the start of an official visit for two kids we have up right now. Got home at midnight, practiced today, and I just told the guys it's so great to be in the rink. It's such an amazing game. You know, we're sitting here 0-6, but you got to appreciate what we do have and the opportunities we have, and it's just a chance to get better and get back out there. So, you know, it's nonstop hockey right now, and that's good and bad. We have we talked about the next four-game segment here, two at home and then two on the road in the WCHA. We'll get a little bit of a breather after that and kind of regroup with a couple days off and reassess some things. But, yeah, we got to keep getting better. And we got a chance with Northern coming in here to turn this around and get that win on the board.
Yeah, what do we know about the Wildcats? They went in to the Resch Center in Green Bay, beat Wisconsin twice. But, you know, I looked at Wisconsin today, and Wisconsin's 0-4 right now and is scoring 0.75 goals a game. And as big a struggle as this has been for the Lakers are scoring 1.5 goals a game. So here's a team scoring half as many goals as we are, so we think we have trouble with offense. They're really having problems there, and Coach Eves has got to be pulling what's left of his hair out. He's 0-4 with a Wisconsin team.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, you look at that series, I think Dahlstrom got the win. I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday night, but he made 18 saves. So, you know, he didn't get challenged much, and I like the steps we took offensively. You know, yeah. We worked a ton last week for some of you who are at practice. How hard we worked at our offensive zone entries, creating space, creating two-on-ones, and then putting pucks to a good area to retrieve it. Cycle plays, funnels to the net, and it really showed up. I mean, our guys did a heck of a job creating offense, especially Friday night, but even Saturday. You know, the first 4 minutes, the first 6 minutes of Saturday, you look up, we're out shooting them 7-0, all over them, controlling everything. They come down, get a puck that goes in off Traplik's skate, and you know, that's been a little bit of our story right now. But, I think the matchup is a good matchup for us. We got to get to Dahlstrom. They have a very strong goalie in Dahlstrom. So we got to continue to get to the paint and get pucks to the paint. And then they got a couple, two lines that can really score. You really got to be alert when, Shine and Suther out there. Seckle didn't play, but I'm sure, I'd imagine Seckle will be back for WCHA games, probably playing with Seymour. And, they got two really dangerous lines and four players you have to be alert to when they're on the ice.
Yeah, Reed Seckle's a very good player for Northern Michigan, has been for a number of years now, and I think this is his senior year, so he'll be a leader as well. But they lost a lot last year. The Lakers and the Lions left the program, graduated, and their goaltending's all brand new, and they're kind of in a little bit of a rebuild themselves. But what a great start for them, 2-0 and 4-1 over Wisconsin.
Well, Dahlstrom's a sophomore. They've got Dahlstrom back in net there with a lot of experience. He had a great year last year. I think was top five in some of the categories. So they returned that. Their D-core, they did turn over quite a bit. But their top guys, again, Shine, Sue, Seymour,
yeah,
and Seckle, all returning guys, veteran guys. And so, you know, their top players returned offensively. But, yeah, their D-core, I think, you know, a little bit like Notre Dame, we got to challenge them. We got to put pucks behind their heels. We got to use our speed and a little bit more of our strength. You saw, Austin McKay get in the lineup and played strong, played heavy, and did a real good job. We need more of that from more guys in our lineup to use that strength and that ability to be heavy on pucks.
Yeah, that's one thing you've done a real good job at, I think, so far, is letting different guys play. You've had a lot of different players come in there, and you changed up your line combinations last week, and it worked pretty well. They were more effective, created more chances. I guess you can continue to try to do that sort of thing too.
Yeah, well, and it's not us doing it. We're asking our players to earn it, you know, and we've talked a lot about this as a team. You know, Austin has worked so hard in practice and, you know, he's earned his chance to play a game, and then he got in the game and he played so well, he's going to stay in. And, we've asked our guys who either haven't made trips or haven't dressed, you know, you got to do a great job to earn it. You know, Nathan Harris, we were hoping to play Saturday, and we had a little bit of a communication issue, and it cost him a start there, but he had another great day today. So Harris has done a good job of putting himself in a situation to get a chance to play, and that's what we've asked. So it's not us just saying, okay, let's throw this guy in. We're asking them to earn it in practice day in and day out, and once they do that, or if they do that, then we're not afraid to make changes and put guys in.
Well, practices so far have been real up-tempo, too, and all three of the coaches are involved very much. Everybody's working on the posy board a bit with their own ideas, and you guys obviously are working away from the rink to come up with different things that'll help make practice be a little bit fresher every day.
Yeah, and today is, you know, Monday is a little bit of a different day, yeah. You know, coming off a road trip and whatever. So we want to keep it a little bit fresh, a little bit quick. There's not a whole lot of concepts or systems beyond our teaching tapes that we show and try to clean up some areas of our play. But it's more just a flow day, getting guys back on the ice. We worked out in the morning, so they, you know, a long bus trip, a good lift in the morning, and then we want to get them on the ice, get a good sweat, touch some pucks. You know, we're really working on our puck movement, our puck touches. Communication on the ice, it's getting better, it's getting there. We have seen an improvement in that area, but we need to continue to do a good job of managing the puck and being strong on pucks, and it's a big point of emphasis.
You know, you've mentioned it a couple of times, I think post-game on Saturday night and here so far today, you mentioned it a moment ago about conditioning. You know, a lot of people are critical of that. They say, well, why aren't these guys in great shape? They should have come in from the summer being in tremendous shape. But there are a lot of young people here who are just coming out of Tier 2 Junior A hockey who probably think they're in great shape, but maybe they aren't. And we're talking game shape, and the only way to get into game shape is to really practice hard and really play in games.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, no question. Game shape is different. Our testing, we weren't overwhelmed with our testing. We were disappointed in some areas. Mm-hmm. And it was probably more the freshmen, maybe you give them a little bit more break because it is their first go around and a little bit different level. So we felt like some of our returning guys weren't where we wanted to be. I think a part of it too is our change of style of play. It's such a, you know, in our eyes, it's such a different pace that we're playing with and style that we're playing with that you really got to be, you know, in great shape. You know, right now we can't do a lot of matching lines or double shifting guys because of what we're asking for them. So it's still a work in progress. It's still not quite where we want it to be. You know, like Eric Traplick, I think in 2 or 3 weeks, I think it's been a pretty significant difference from where he was 2 or 3 weeks ago. The minutes he can play now, the situations we can put him in, is really improved in that couple of weeks. So we look for him to keep stepping up, and we got some other guys that need to keep evolving a little bit. You know, and the onus, you know, there is the onus on the kids a little bit. Kids from bigger cities and more populous areas, they typically go home and they have a strength conditioning coach they work with or a trainer back home. Mm-hmm. Some of our smaller town kids, or, you know, kids maybe don't have the resources. They got summer jobs or work a lot that don't have the money to maybe pay for some of that. They're behind a little bit at times. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think we got to have a little bit better, buy-in or commitment in our summertime training and then do a better job once we do get them in the limited time we have to get them ready to play.
Okay, and that's something that's being worked on every day. We're going to take a break in the show tonight. We've got the pad out there for fans who want to ask questions of Damon Witten. We will have Andrew Domit joining us in the second half of the show tonight. If you've got a question for the Laker captain, you could write it down as well. And we'll be right back with more from the Antlers on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Great.
Okay, welcome back to the Antlers on a Monday evening. It's the Laker Hockey Show, and we want to thank everybody for being here at the Antlers tonight. Good crowd on hand, and Damon said he thought when he came down there wouldn't be anybody here since we're 0-6 now, but I told him, well, they'll hang with us for a while yet, but we probably need a win against Northern Michigan
I'll
this
take
weekend,
it too.
Though. And, you know, it'll be good to get back home, too, just to play at the at Able instead of being on the road.
Yeah, and, you know, I really wish we had an exhibition game, you know. I mean, hey, we wish we were pro hockey. We had 6 exhibition games. We get to learn everybody, and that's not the way it works. But I think that really set us back. You know, you're so focused on league points and trying to get at least a little bit of structure to your game so you can go in and be organized. And so, you know, I guess you live and learn, but I don't think that did us any favors in not getting a chance to iron out some wrinkles early on. And I think you can see some good progress in some areas, but, you know, that certainly didn't help jumping right into 2 league games. And but we'll be ready. You know, we're making steps, and we got more league games now, so it'll be good timing.
Well, one of the things is you work every day right now. We didn't get to practice with the guys until this is the 3rd week where you're actually working, and there are drills that you can do to improve offense, and there are drills you can do to improve defense, and we're working on that.
Yeah, no question. I mean, like I said, I thought Friday night we were really happy. I mean, we watched the game back. I mean, really happy with a lot of areas. Obviously, the loss is a loss, and that doesn't sit well ever. But, you know, you look at our zone entries. Now we got to stay on sides a little bit. But we've created 2-on-1s. We created 3-on-2s and 3-on-1s. You know, we've got to bear down and finish a little bit. But then in our cycle play offensively, you know, guys holding on to pucks and we call it funneling pucks to the net. You know, Alex Globke's goal is right off the funnel. So, things we worked directly on practice, translated right to the game and led to goals. And so that was very positive. And, Saturday we weren't quite as sharp. I think maybe fatigue or, you know, maybe Notre Dame, we're a little bit more ready in that area, but, definitely we're hitting those areas hard and we're seeing progress in it. So that's positive.
Yeah. I would think Notre Dame might have had a little trouble. Lakers have a lot of new guys. They don't know any of them, so they don't know what we're going to do or how we're going to play. Got a new coaching staff, might be a different style than we've played in the past, and it is. And it took them a while to adjust to what Lake Superior State was doing too. You're still getting to know the guys on this team. I mean, it's not like you've been around these guys for a full season. You've been around them for about a month now. So there's a lot of getting to know who can do what.
Oh yeah, no question. I mean, you know, power play wise, I mean, obviously we need to be much better in that area. You know, and I think it's a little bit easier, like penalty kill. You know, we know what we want to do. Defensively, we know what we want to do. Penalty kill, we know this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. Power play wise, you don't have that luxury. You got to find the pieces you have, the skill you have, where they fit, who they work with. So there's a lot more moving parts in some areas just to say like, hey, we're doing this. You can't do it that way because some guys might not be able to make this play or shoot the puck or whatever. So, you know, we are still trying to find the right pieces and, pick up the execution and put guys in place and, you know, a lot of it comes down to face-offs and retrievals, and that's an area, too, that you know, our face-offs aren't good enough right now, and that leads to a lot of lost time on the power play.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time during games, that if you're going to play an up-tempo game and a puck control game, you got to have a puck, and you need to win the draws. And We have not done that as well as we probably need to, but again, that's a practice situation. How much time do you devote to face-off work in practice?
Yeah, usually late in the week. I mean, post-practice, 2 or 3 days, we make our centers take some extra draws. We try to get some face-off. Early on, we got a lot of face-off scrimmage in because we were trying to put so much systems in place and teach our guys so much of what our structure is. So we did a lot of our stuff off face-offs. Also early on power play, in today's game, obviously, and there's a penalty called, you automatically start in the offensive zone face-off play. So we tried to start everything off an offensive zone draw, run a play off a win, and run a retrieval off a loss. So we certainly do a lot, but our execution on just a simple win or loss needs to improve. And if we're not winning them clean, then we need to just make sure we're not losing them and get a tie up and have guys come in and help out. So we spend a good amount of time on it, but obviously it's got to be more because it's not been where it needs to be.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff, and it's if you come to practice, and a lot of people who are here do come to practice quite regularly, you see how hard this team is working and how things are up-tempo all the time and moving all the time, and power play and PK get worked on all the time, and it's going to take some time because it's a lot of new people and a new coaching staff, and that's just the way it is right now. It's a reality. You're talking about recruiting. You got a couple of young guys who are in town right now that you're working on, trying to get them to commit for the future. One thing I've really noted about this coaching staff is you're very aggressive with recruiting, and you're not held back. You're going to go USHL if you want to. You're going to go down and talk to under 18s. You're looking for the best players.
Well, yeah. I mean, I there's kids out there that want to be a Laker, and we'll find them. And if they don't, that's fine too. It's not a school for everybody. If they want a big city, then they're probably not going to enjoy their time here. So, but there's a lot of good hockey players out there in a lot of different leagues. There's a lot of kids that would love for a chance to join our program and be part of what we're building here. And, we'll be aggressive finding them. And if they say no, that's fine. We can cross those guys off and move on. But, we'll go anywhere. We'll talk to anybody to help us find the right fit on and off the ice for our program. But we have so much to sell. The kids that we've been able to get up here and to visit, whether it's summertime or the kids in currently, we're batting a 100 right now on those kids, and a lot of credit to Rich and Pete and the job they do building relationships with those kids and with those families. But once a kid's here, they've been really impressed with our fans, with our facilities, the history. There's so much to sell. So that's been really enjoyable to get them here and work with them.
Yeah, you watched a classic recruiting effort at Notre Dame this past weekend. They have a tournament there this past week where they have all these Bantam players, which, what are they, 12, 13 years old?
2,000 birth years.
And they're all in there in this. I mean, there was a team from L.A., Chicago, a couple from Toronto, Ottawa, Detroit, all the big name teams in that age group out of Detroit were there. There had to be 15, 16 teams there. Well, that's tremendous recruiting by them because they can show them their complex. They can see everything there. They can talk to them. They're on campus. If they want to, they can pitch them. They're on campus.
Yeah, no
they can
question.
Say anything they want to them.
Huge tool. I mean, huge tool to get those caliber of players on your campus, like you mentioned, just to be able to meet and talk to them face to face. One of the counters a little bit is Rich Micho knows all those kids, all those Michigan kids, those 2,000 birth years spent
so
a week
talking
on our campus. Yeah, and we host the Bantam Camp here at Lake State. So all the top Michigan 99 and 2,000 birth years were on campus this year. Rich ran the camp. That's ongoing. Next year we'll have the 2001 and the 2,000 birth years. We need to do a great job. We need to get them through our locker room, meeting our coaches, showing them our history and tradition. And, the right ones we'll go after. And we're going to get two or three of the top ones who see what we're selling, see what we're building, and that want to be Lakers. And if there's six that don't want to be, that's fine. We'll get the two that want to be here. And, it's a great tool for us to have those kids here.
Yeah, and some of those kids were really good players, too. There was a kid in Toronto, big-bodied kid for his age group, and he could fly. He was out there. And I said to Rich, this guy, I saw this guy over here, blah, blah, you guys, Weir, he says, he gives me the kid's name, I'm like, wow. So he's right on top of it. He knows,
yeah.
He knows who they are and what's going on. And that's exactly who the kid was. Recruiting is such a battle too, though. I mean, everybody needs good players. Everybody's looking for offense. I think Mike Eaves is probably looking for offense right now at Wisconsin. It's hard to find these guys. There just aren't that many of them, for one thing, and then everybody's after them.
They don't grow on trees. And say, there's a lot of good players, and I think people would be amazed if they realized, the time. I know Rich has some family here, and our families were here last week, but, you go home at night, and it's not like you get to sit around and watch TV with the family. You're on 4 to 6 recruiting calls a night, talking to parents, talking to advisors, talking to the kids. I mean, these guys are, you know, they give up a lot. They sacrifice a lot to try to recruit. But, you know, I'm happy. If you do your digging on who's on our list, we got a lot of guys leading their teams in scoring that'll, you know, come in and hopefully continue that offensive production. Again, Rich and Pete, they've dogged it. They've been after it. That September month with all the showcases, they've been in, you know, every province, every state, watching players and building relationships. And so it's a dogged process. Bill, you're on the bus with us. We downloaded 6-7 different games from different junior leagues to watch some kids on the bus and talking to advisors, talking to players. So it's really a 24/7 world. And with the advisors involved now, that's really changed things a little bit. So it's a lot about your relationships and who you know out there. But they do a good job. We got another visit next week coming up, and so we've been busy.
Well, let's do a little bit of a recruiting update at this point. We can't really mention names all the time unless they've signed a national letter of intent. November is a signing month coming up, but are there kids who are committing verbally to us right now for next season that we're going to have playing for Lake Superior State?
Yeah, no question. I think right now, you know, we only have the 3 seniors, so we've got them replaced technically with their one guy, and there'll be a couple more. You know, you never know what happens in today's game with guys signing. And you know, we lost a sophomore goalie over at Michigan Tech. You know, we've got some guys who have interest. For those of you who are at the Michigan Tech series, you look up and you see 15 NHL guys standing in the rink or sitting in the rink, standing in different areas. So you never know what happens now. It's such a crazy game with guys signing contracts. So, you know, we'll add a couple more and try to upgrade and improve on some areas. But no, it's been good. You know, I think people have followed that a little bit. There's been some younger guys that's been maybe a little bit of a new path for Lake State to go after some younger kids. But, again, there's a lot of good players. There's a lot of people that would just, you know, do anything they could to be a part of this program and join this history and tradition. And, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, I noticed that too. This beautiful Compton Family Center they've got at Notre Dame. They have no national championship banners hanging. We have 3 of them at Able Arena. So, you know, that's, in fact, Pat O'Neill said, gee, they do a good job of hiding their national championships here, don't they? You know, but you know, that they've got everything going for them, and we've got a lot of things going for us, too. We just need to cash in on it. We're going to take a break in the show tonight. We'll be back. Andrew Domitz here. He'll join us in the second half. We'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400.
News with your host, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
All right, we're back at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue, and we are joined for the first time on the show this season by one of the players, and appropriately enough, it's the captain of the Lakers, Andrew Domitz, who's in with us tonight. And Andrew, tell me again how fast 4 years goes by. It seems like you just came in here yesterday and you're going out of here at the end of the year.
Yeah, it definitely flies by. I remember freshman year, parents' weekend, Kyle Haynes was talking to me and his parents, and he was just saying, you know, one day you're sitting here as a freshman, the next day you're talking to the freshman as a senior. So, yeah, it definitely just flies by, but you got to make the most of it.
You got to be pretty happy, too, though, named captain of this team. Your teammates had a lot to do with that decision, as well as the coaching staff, and that's an honor. And you know what it's like. You've been here for 4 years now. To be the captain of this team is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an honor, and it's humbling to have, like, the team pick me like that. And, you know, I look down in the history of the captains that played here at Lake State. A good buddy of mine, Troy Schwab, was a captain here. So it's great. It's a great feeling. You know, it's just a big responsibility, but at the same time, you just gotta, you know, just gotta be yourself and take care, and the rest will take care of itself.
Well, a lot of changes too coming in this year. New coaching staff to work with, and how's the acclimation been there?
Great. I mean, I think the transition from last year to this year has been great. Coaches came in, know, made everyone feel very welcoming, and it's been great so far.
Now, you've played with a couple different line combinations thus far this season as we try to find some offense. I thought it was pretty good at Notre Dame. What are your thoughts on who do you like to play with, or does it even matter to you who you're playing with?
Yeah, like you said, I think the weekend was the lines I thought were pretty good, but no, I don't really have any preference who I play with. I played with Glovke and Miller on the weekend, and thought that we had some good chemistry at some times. I mean, Glovke is, you know, he's a natural goal scorer, so it's kind of easy to play with a guy like that. And he's big, strong, hard around the net. And then Miller, he's such a gifted player. He's, you know, he's quick. He's got a great shot. So, I mean, you know, he's smart. So it makes it easier for you when you have linemates like that.
again, though, being captain of the team, you got so many young people in the lineup, and they may not necessarily be 18 years old, but most of them played Tier 2 Junior A last year, and you know yourself that's a step to come to D1. How do you help those guys acclimate, and what's that kind of do to you as a leadership guy on this team?
You just got to be there for them. I mean, being young like that, you got to make sure they feel comfortable about coming up to you and asking questions. And once they feel comfortable, you know, the questions start coming, and you just gotta be there for them. You just gotta, you know, there's times, you know, as a captain, maybe you have to get a little upset at them, or you know what it is. But at the same time, you just gotta communicate with them. And we talked throughout the year with the coaching staff, communication is, you know, the big thing this year. So gotta make them, you know, make them feel welcome, make them feel that they can come up and ask questions anytime they want. And you know, once they feel comfortable and ask questions, and then, you know, they start improving their game, it's more beneficial for the team.
Tough start too, 0-6 on the season at this point. That's not what any of us had envisioned, I know, and it's tough for you guys too. I can tell after games that it really weighs on the guys who've been around for a while. I know Eric Drapluck the other night after we lost the second game at Notre Dame, he just said to me, he said, we just got to find a way. We just got to find a way to make it happen. You know, is that kind of how the older guys on the team feel at this point?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously being 0-6 is, it's frustrating, but, yeah, like Draft said, you got to find that way. It's just, you know, you can't change things. You know, if something's not working or you're not scoring goals, you can't start cheating to go on the offensive. You got to stay true to those little things, like staying on D side of the puck, and, you know, offense will come. It's, and we're working hard at practice about putting pucks at the net and, you know, going hard to the paint and, you know, banging home those rebounds. And I think that if we continue, you know, putting pucks at the net, doing the little things right, I think, you know, all the scoring will come.
Have you noticed definite changes in practice situations this year over the past couple of years?
Yeah, it's been definitely different. It's very high tempo, a lot of talking. It's a lot of, you know, working on little things. So it's, no, it's definitely a change, but it's a good change. It's all the guys are, you know, they feel great on the ice, and, you know, we're trying to practice, you know, I think practice more how we play. You know, I think practice in the past maybe were, you know, a little too slow, but this year very high tempo and kind of translates to the game.
Yeah, good on the weekend too to see a fellow senior Steven Perfetto kind of get off the schneid with the goal scoring. He scored two great goals. Those were both picture perfect goals, one Friday night, one Saturday. Good to get that going right now.
Yeah. But, I know Perf, I room with Perf, so I knew he was a little frustrated in the first couple of games about not scoring a goal. So, you know, you just got to let him know that you can't think about it too much. And a guy like Perf, like, his release is so incredible that, you know, he's not gonna, you know, be off the scoring sheet too long. So you just have to kind of get outside, you know, get out of your head and just stop thinking about it and just play the game. And I think that's what he did this weekend. Got two goals, so.
Yeah, he played really well. That whole line played pretty well. Interesting, too, we've got a lot of young guys on this team, but they fit in pretty well. They seem to be acclimating well. I think going on the road early in the season with a bunch of new people, that helps.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing. I mean, when you get in a roommate with, like, you know, because freshmen stay up in Brady, so, you know, you only really see him, like, in class or at the rink. But when you get to room with them, you get to know them a little bit more. And, you know, being on the bus and, you know, sharing stories, definitely, you know, the camaraderie comes, like, with that. So it's great to have a couple away games first in the season, kind of get a good feeling with the guys.
Yeah, and again, too, you get some guys who haven't been able to play yet. Pete Spratty got in Saturday night. That's nice. I know you guys are pretty good buddies, and it's good to see those guys get in the lineup, and I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, you know, Spratty's the type of guy that, like, he came to camp this year in tremendous shape, and, you know, he worked his butt off all summer, so you know, he was itching to you know, get in the lineup, and he does everything right. He does everything right in the weight room. He does everything, you know, nutrition wise, you know, on the ice, he does everything right. So you know, it was good to see him get in, and maybe had a little bit of nerves. He was playing forward, but I thought he did a, you know, a tremendous job.
Yeah, he got kind of rung up in the first period too. I thought he was oh, hey, the guy just got in the lineup and he's gonna get hurt and not be back, but he came right back. I don't know what happened there, but he was down and out for a few seconds.
Yeah, he took a weird hit, but he's a tough kid, so bounce back.
Yeah, and we've got some, you know, freshman forwards who are doing a pretty good job for Lake Superior. I think that in particular, Luke Sandler gives us a little edginess up there. He's the kind of guy, maybe he gets a little over the edge sometimes, but he gives you that honest, the other guys got to keep their heads up, and I thought Scott Patterson's been pretty good so far this season. He sat out and watched the other night, but that's a learning experience for him. He's been pretty good too.
Yeah, I mean, all the freshmen I thought have been playing well. Yeah, Sandler definitely, he brings that edge. He brings it in practice too. He brings that compete level up, and it's, our first thing to do on the forecheck is we hunt and hit, and, sending Sandy in first is, that hit's going to come. So it's good. And then Patty, he's kind of a different player. He's more of a skilled player, I would say. And yeah. Patty's been doing great. He's great with the puck. He was on the power play for a bit and
good skater.
He's a great skater, and he's really smart too. He does a lot of things right, and he's doing good.
And I think that's the element you bring too, Andrew, is the speed game. You've always been a very fast winger who's honest, hits people, like to play rough and tough, and that's the way it's been so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, growing up as a kid, I always try to focus myself being just an all-around player. And my dad always said that, if you're asked to do something, you should be able to do it. So that's one thing I try. I try to be, one shift maybe go out and just score a goal, or the next shift, if it's PKing, blocking a shot, or making a big hit. So just try to focus on doing all the little things right, and just playing my game, and that's all I can really do.
Yeah, there have been some injuries over the years, but you've not missed very many games for Lake Superior State. You're a worthy captain for this team. I notice you've also found you finally found a new guy to play catch with before the game too.
Yeah.
Would you make Nardi do that or what?
No, he actually came up to me and I told him it's a Saskatchewan thing, taking pro spot.
Baseball.
It's a big honor to do that, but no, me and Nards are pretty close, and he came up and I needed a guy to play catch with, and I said sure.
Yeah, that's his little warm up in case when we're on the road, he's out with the ball glove. And last couple of years it's been Andrew Perreault, and this year Mitch Nardi gets the nod. So and, I thought Mitch Nardi played, he was a lot more noticeable and a lot more involved at Notre Dame than he's been earlier this season. He played pretty well, I thought.
Yeah. One thing about Nards is he has tremendous skill. He has a great shot. He's a good skater. He's a good size. But, sometimes maybe he gets in his head a little bit too much and he kind of worries too much. But I thought this weekend he played great. And I think he has a lot of confidence right now. So I think we're going to see a lot of good things out of him coming up.
Big weekend this weekend too. Northern Michigan's here. We're very familiar with the Wildcats. It's a team Lake Superior does not like to lose to, and I think you're looking very much forward to Friday night.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, lost to Northern and last year, and being rivals, it's frustrating losing to a team like that. So definitely looking forward to Friday night, and gonna beat Northern and come up with our first win.
Good. Sounds good to all of us. We love that kind of talk. Andrew, I thank you for joining us here tonight. We'll have you on again during the season.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
1400.
All righty, we're back for our final segment of the show tonight, live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. It's the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford rejoined now by Damon Witten, the head coach of the Laker hockey team. And Damon, we got Northern Michigan this weekend, two home games, and that's great because we want home games right now. And then we go on the road to Anchorage, which will be a test physically for everybody involved. And thank goodness then you have a weekend off, so you can take a few days off in there from practice, et cetera, and recover. And then you turn around, get back on the sleeper bus, and go to Huntsville, Alabama. There's no doubt this is a very tough schedule this team faces this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would draw it up that way if you had full control over it. And obviously the league stuff, we don't control much of that, just the non-conference stuff. But you know what? It's what's ahead of us, and it's opportunity. So, Anchorage, it's obviously a very grueling and a difficult trip, four-hour time difference, flights. It's very difficult that way, but there is a – I think the kids get up there, and it's a big city. This time of year, it'll be a nice time to go up and see the city, see the mountains, see the ocean. So you can keep kids fresh on that. The bye week after is certainly critical to recover a little bit on your bodies with the travel home and then the Robert Morris trip. And so we definitely are going to need that week off to give the guys some time off and catch up on academics and then get things in order that way and just let their bodies rest and recover.
Yeah, it's a difficult role right there. You're talking about flight. You got a bus to Detroit to get a flight to go wherever. Sometimes it's Minneapolis, sometimes it's Salt Lake City, and then it's up to Anchorage and come back kind of on a red eye out of there, and you wait in airports, and you've been traveling all day and hoping all the connections are good and that they don't lose any of your luggage or your equipment. And then you get to Detroit and you get back on a bus and you drive all the way up to Sault Ste. Marie, 6.5, 7 hours. So it's grueling. It really is. And it takes a lot out of you. Especially it takes a lot out of old guys, which is why I don't go.
And maybe I can join that program soon. But we were looking at the itinerary. And if you look at, you know, our departure time, like 8 a.m. Wednesday to catch our afternoon flight. And then we land back in Detroit like 5 p.m. on Sunday. Then you had a 5-hour bus trip in. I mean, it's long and it's difficult. And, but like I said, when you get there, guys will enjoy it. You know, we're on the Olympic sheet that week, and that's a little bit of a wrinkle for us. But, you know, actually you get into Anchorage and you get acclimated a little bit. And, you know, hopefully Thursday we practice early, so maybe we'll get to go to a little sightseeing and, you know, give the guys a little change of pace there and, you know, keep them on their toes a little bit and then try to enjoy a little bit of it as well.
One of the other things we got going right now is, now, Anchorage doesn't have a Olympic sheet, do they?
They are.
Or do they? Okay, they both do then.
Yes.
Because I know that the Carlson Center is that way. Do you consider maybe going down to Big Bear to the Olympic sheet there and practicing?
I would like to. I think, you know, ideally the more time you can get on, the more beneficial, no question about it. So, yeah, it's something we talked about a little bit. We got to look a little bit more heavily into it in terms of availability and things like that and just the logistics of it. But, yeah, I mean, no question. A Wednesday, we probably won't be able to skate because of a travel, so you're missing a practice day due to the long travel, the difficult travel. So then you really get up there. You have a Thursday off of a 14-hour travel day, or maybe I think we land up in Alaska at 10 p.m., and which is 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. our time. So, you know, your Thursday practice, how good is that going to be? And so, yeah, I think if we can get over to Big Bear and use the big sheet, it'd be a big benefit.
Yeah, and I think that's doable. We've done it in the past. It's a matter of working out the logistics there. I want to remind everybody about the things going on this weekend. We'll hit this again before we get off tonight, but there is a post-game event. The Blue Liners are playing host this coming Saturday night. This is Great Lakes State weekend. We'll mention that in a moment, too, but we play Northern Michigan University both games Friday and Saturday night, and after that Saturday night game, there will be a gathering upstairs at the CC Hall, and the 1994 team will be there, and that'll be great for any hockey fan. If you want to meet some of these guys, talk to them again about that great season, certainly avail yourself of that opportunity on Saturday night. 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon at the Arts Center, the Athletics Hall and Fame induction. That'll be two basketball players, Alice Dusing Nightingale from 2003 and Chris Buell from 1974. And then the 94 team will be inducted, the hockey team, the last of the three to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. We did that chronologically, and 88 and 92 are already in. And now 94 will go this coming Saturday afternoon. And Friday night at 5, it's the Alumni Awards Dinner at the Sisler Center. They'll be honoring Joe Breed, Mary Jane Alexander, Aaron Mize, and Dr. Dave Knowles. And that'll be a nice affair. That's a real nice dinner at 5 o'clock, and then they come over and get introduced between periods of the hockey game as well. And you have an experienced Great Lakes State weekend, Damon, but I know you know homecoming and you know all those things, and I'm sure they've had that at other places you've been. This is a big deal this weekend, and a lot of people will come back for the awards and the Hall of Fame induction, but a lot of people will come back to watch the Lakers play hockey too.
Yeah, a great, exciting weekend. You know, you got a rivalry game on top of a homecoming or Great Lakes State weekend, so you know, there's a buzz in our building. Our guys are excited about it. They realize the importance, and you know, we're kind of working out some details to get the 94 team a chance to. It's always tough on a game day, but at least get them a little window there to dress our players and just talk about what their time at Lake State meant to them. And so that'll be really special to get those two teams together and have a little bit of interaction there. But no question, it'll be an exciting weekend. And like I said, there's been a lot of feedback about the style of hockey we're playing and the compete level, and you know, you got to give our guys a lot of credit that they played hard and we're getting better, and you know, we're going to be there. We believe in this team. We really like this group of kids. They've done a tremendous job of doing the things we're asking them to do and staying positive, and you know, there's a lot of positive things in the horizon. So we like our team, and we're excited to move forward.
Yeah, new coaching staff too, and it bears mentioning that you and Pete Aubrey are new to this community. How's the acclimation been there for you? I know about 3 weeks ago when we talked about various things, you hadn't really been that far off campus. You didn't know where half the stuff I was asking you about was. I asked where the CC Hall is. He had no clue.
I got lost on the way to CC Hall, so and it's only two blocks. So, yeah, so hopefully this Saturday night I won't be late. But, no, it's going great. I mean, you know, it's such a special place. You know, we obviously spent a couple of years in the UP and, you know, our little guys in school and doing swimming lessons. So for my wife, it's great to get to meet some other parents and be a little bit more involved that way. But, no, we've enjoyed it. You know, this time of year, you're so dialed in hockey-wise right. that, you know, I feel so bad for my wife and my kid. But, you know, for us, it's 24-7 hockey almost, and so we don't get to do a whole lot. And apologize if we're not out and about and visible as much as we should be. But we're kind of nuts that way and just so dialed in. But, no, it's been great. We've really enjoyed it. We appreciate the support and the kindness of the community. And like I said, just be patient with us and this team. And there's a lot of good things coming, moving forward, the way our guys are buying in and playing and getting better day by day.
Well, one of the things that we've made a lot of changes too with broadcasts of hockey, you've been coming up post game. That's your idea to come up after the game and talk to the fans about what they just witnessed. And it's been tough because we've lost six straight games and you're still up there every game. This weekend, we're making yet another change. We're going to have either Rich or Pete or even a player join us after each period. We will have a headset down on the bench. It'll be hardwired in. It won't be like the old way that we tried it a few years ago with a portable mic. That never did work very well because it's wireless, but this will be hardwired. It'll work fine. The Greyhounds have been doing it all season with Jerry Liskam Jr. That's a Sovereign Communication operation there. And we're going to do the same thing with Laker hockey. It'll start this Friday night. That'll be interesting. And that was your idea also to have that headset down on the bench and actually do it upright so we can understand and be understood.
Yeah, well, I think it's great. I think, you know, I mean, hopefully everybody's in the building and you might have your headsets on, but I know everybody here will be there, but I want fans in the building for sure, but those who can't make it, you know, to get that immediate feedback, to have, you know, Coach Mitro or Coach Aubrey or a player in the heat of the moment scored a big goal, to feel that excitement or to hear about the adjustments we're trying to make or what we're doing well, I think that's it's a great way to get a little bit more involved and our fans have a little bit better feel of what it's like on the bench because, you know, ultimately that's kind of what we're trying to sell and show people that, you know, the passion down there, the energy and in the highs and the lows. Sometimes it's the frustration and the anger and I could use worse words for that, but, you know, that'll be a nice feedback to get that immediately, you know, as we're walking off and you're going to hear some of the raw emotion at times from that.
Okay. And that'll all start this Friday night. We hope everything will work out well. We had a little trouble with our podcast this past week because we had a incorrect address involved there, but we've got that straightened out. We actually tried it today and it worked just fine. So the podcast of this particular show will be available. It's at yesfm.net or at Lakers Sovereign, that's Sov Communications. It's lakers.sovcom.net. Either one of those, you can get to the podcast and you can listen to this show over and over again all week long if you so desire, but it's certainly good for people who can't listen live at 6 p.m. It gives them a chance to listen to the show later on in the week. Damon, thanks for being here. The hour goes by in a hurry. Andrew Domit, we thank him for being here tonight and certainly all you great fans who are here tonight. Great Lakes State weekend coming up this weekend. Don't miss it. Lakers play Northern Michigan. We'll have both games live starting with the pregame show a half hour before game time. Friday and Saturday nights, Northern Michigan and the Lakers on YesFM. For another Laker hockey show, that's it on ESPN 1400.